With apologies, this is a good hour presentation that I've been asked to give by the Southern Cotton and Corn Entomologists to overview where we stand. We do not have the 2009 data for Zayin virescens yet. The commercial lab doing this work was afflicted by the H1N1 in the last month fairly severely, and they apologized to me specifically for not having those data. But what I did was get a verbal response from them that there are no unusual survival activities this year. We'll put those data from 09 in next year's belt-wide. Very quickly then, this summary is going to cover pink bollworm, tobacco budworm, and cotton bollworm. We know with Cry1AC that the pink bollworm is highly susceptible to Cry1AC. We also know that in 07, a very rapid six generations of selection of field collections yielded a 1,000 to 3,000 fold resistance. A lot of work invested in this by Tabashnik's lab and my colleagues at the University of Arizona characterized this as a cadherin-based mutation. And a great deal of monitoring has said very quickly that there are they are not detecting those resistance alleles in subsequent years after 1997, quite paradoxically. No reports whatsoever of unusual survival in the field. Resistance, well, in the laboratory, absolutely. In the field, no. And this will be a recurrent theme that's going to come up in this presentation and the subsequent talk that I give. Cry2AB, also highly susceptible species. Resistance also isolated in the lab. In this case, the collections that I was making throughout the Southwest, we tortured for 2 years at very high concentrations of Cry1AC in the lab before isolating a 100 to 200 fold resistance, of which I then handed it off to Tabashnik, and he has since done extensive work on that in publications you've recently seen. Mechanism unknown, but the monitoring results show absolutely unequivocally that the field populations are quite susceptible and we have no unusual survival in the field. So resistance in pink bollworm, Cry2, laboratory, absolutely, field, absolutely not. Situation with virescens is very similar, I think. In many respects to Pectinophora, and just again in the interest of time and again with an apology, I'll race through this, and 20-fold differences have been described from laboratory selection. If anyone knows of any others, you be sure and let me know. Monitoring results have extensive work reported by the Arkansas group, Dr. Luttrell's lab and Dr. Ali, who have made this job quite a bit easier for me by an article, thank you very much, in the Resistant Pest Newsletter, from which I will be liberally excerpting here. So the LC50 and MIC50, and for those of you who aren't familiar with this, this is development, dead being counted as those that are actually dead or that don't molt from the first to second instar, the MIC levels. Have been generally under 20-fold, and I'll illustrate that in a minute. Subsequent work with their commercial labs and discriminating concentration bioassays are showing no unusual survival. So resistance in the laboratory, well, no or maybe, depending on how you want to draw that line. In the field, absolutely not, based on anything we know. These are the Arkansas data over time, and you can see that there is a slight increase in that line of the means and the variance through time as you got more strains. There, that's that 20-fold that I was saying that we've probably seen in terms of differences between the early assays and later assays. But then if you break out the 2002 to 8 data, as Dr. Luttrell and Lee have done, you can see that there is no change during that 02 to 08 period, whether you're using the developmental criterion on the bottom or the Dornell dead criterion on the top. Cry2, again, highly susceptible in virescence, no resistance that I'm aware of that's been isolated in the lab. Monitoring results, less than 10-fold differences of either developmental or mortality criteria. And some survivors, though, importantly, of the highest concentrations you can test with our standard assay, which is for various technical reasons involving plant material. And so these small numbers of survivors are always a vexing matter for us when we're using discriminating concentration assays, because we're always needing to follow up on what are those genetically, those survivors, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that. No reports of unusual survival in Bolgard or Bolgard 2. Resistance, in this case, laboratory no, field no. If you know otherwise, please let me know. These go back then to the historical Arkansas data to which I referred earlier. And again, here you can see that through time you have more samples and moderately increased variance in terms of the means that you brought in, but nothing at all here that we would consider to be worrisome. Zaya is not an easy, simple story. Our dear friend Dr. Tabashnik made it a prominent issue, which has then been responded to in various parts of by various entities, and this being a University of Arizona press release tells you what happens when you give this sort of science to a press person at a university. And the first response you saw, of course, was a rebuttal by seven scientists with hands-on experience in the southern cotton, mentioning issues with reference strains in laboratories and limited baseline data. All are points which I will say that Dr. Luttrell underscores in this Resistant Pest Newsletter article. I can't do justice to the full weight of the data in this summary, but I will attempt to be fastidious about sticking to this, my main notes here, and that is resistance has been isolated in the lab many times. Few have survived more than a year. Everyone has the story that was just discussed earlier about pyrethroid resistant strains. You isolate them and they die off on you. A variety of mechanisms appear to be involved, not surprisingly because, and I didn't emphasize this, we have a species here that's very moderate in its susceptibility. Again, thanks to the Arkansas work here, we see that there's no change from 02 to 08. I'll show you those data here in a minute. Again, because we have moderate susceptibility, which completely changes our situation with interpreting the bioassays, we have these small numbers of survivors of even very high discriminating concentrations in some collections. What do they mean? This shows you, again, the Luttrell Lee data, a selected 1992 strain, which is right in the ballpark of about the 15 strains that they've shown that fall in this worrisome area, which was really the grist of the Tabashnik paper. When you break down that 02 to 08, as was very competently done in the paper I've mentioned, you see, though, that if those changes took place, they took place sometime way back when. All right, so has susceptibility to Cry1AC declined? Well, I say, well, I'm going to quote the people who've done most of the work. And in this case, the significant differences in responses in 92 in Mississippi State University and those measured at University of Arkansas a decade later suggests that, yeah, it's okay, things have increased. However, they're not strong empirical comparisons given all of these issues that have been mentioned and were emphasized in the Moore paper. And this, again, quoting Luttrell and Lee, while the data do not confirm it, they don't eliminate the possibility. Where does that leave us? Resistance, laboratory, absolutely. Field, okay. Do you want to see, we know absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. On the other hand, do we publish things for which we can't make these robust statistically valid conclusions? I'll leave that to you. If it is resistant, if it's become less susceptible, then we know then that this resistance does not appear to be associated with a major kind of mechanism like I showed you for Pectinophora. That we know for sure. It's not had an observable impact on field performance. It appears to be associated with major fitness costs, such as already been reflected on in earlier presentations here. It's not reduced susceptibility to Cry 2AB in any manner that we can measure. And lastly, we've got 1 year left of Bolgard at a fairly limited acreage. Monsanto then has done a great deal of follow-up work on this. Each of these I could give a 15-minute presentation on. I apologize again. Sentinel plots, though, talk very briefly about. A lot of people in this room helped us with those. Got the comparisons out. I'll reflect on that here in just a minute. F2 screens, I can't even begin to discuss those at this moment. Improved bioassay methodology, as Dr. Anil Kumar has helped us a great deal with that, and then continuing to try and select these strains in the lab. This sort of sentinel plot methodology, Dr. Mullins is the one to set this up around the state with us, line up all the people and look at the actual numbers. This just shows you one set of the data from just those of the 32 sites in which the non-BT portion, the refuge portion, had greater than 10% damage. And you can see, yeah, one out of 10 sites, you get these high levels of damage, like at site 10 here. You go and look at the numbers in the non-BT, you find you've got 50, 60, 70, in some cases 100% damaged bulls in there. Huge pressure. All right. So, and then Cry 2AB, moderately susceptible, just wrapping up. No major gene resistance isolated in the laboratory, but there's a great Jackson work that reported quantitative variability that could be selectable, possibly, but they said no major genes. Monitoring showing slight trend towards higher LC50s, but no such trend when you use the developmental criterion. Again, some survivors of those high-end concentrations that are worrisome. Resistance, in the laboratory, no. In the field, no. These are those data from the Littrell and Lee work making those points about the lack of change, especially with the MIC through time, slight increase in the LC50s. Summary, where are we? I'll just leave this to you. I apologize again, but this is a lot of ground covered in a very short amount of time, and I thank you for the opportunity to do it.
Time for a quick question.
Yu Chen, yep.
Do you have data for the fly armyworm?
There are data on the fall armyworm, and I'm completely unprepared to tell you what they say, but yes, there are data on the fall armyworm, but we're not doing routine monitoring of fall armyworm because, but we understand the fall armyworm, especially with the corn changes, is something that we have to be very careful to track.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.